100 days now. 100 days since we cut and ran from Afghanistan. Left an unknown number of Americans and allies behind to suffer at the hands of the Taliban. It's been 100 days since the Taliban took over now. My next guest, Dr. Ariel Cohen, senior fellow at the Atlantic Council, to evaluate where we are. Doctor, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure, as I'm not seeing patients. You can just call me Ariel.
All right, Ariel. We'll just call you that. That's fine. What is your evaluation this many days on, this many weeks on, this many months on, looking back at the way the exit from Afghanistan was handled, the way the Biden administration dealt with leaving this country? What do you make of it?
This is the greatest disaster U.S. foreign policy and U.S. military experienced since the fall of Saigon in 1975. Remember the iconic images of helicopters taking off the embassy roof and people trying to cling to the helicopters, and many of them left behind. We took actually hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese, many of whom, you know, stuck their lives for us there. I hope we'll have the decency to take Afghans, who were our intelligence eyes and ears, who were our interpreters, who were our analysts there, and who are dying, literally dying, to get out of the hell, which is Taliban. And now it is Taliban against ISIS. It's predator against the alien, literally killing each other. And people who worked for us for years are stuck in the middle.
Is there any chance to get these folks out? I know that, you know, Jen Psaki in this administration has dodged the issue completely from the beginning, saying that, you know, they were working behind the scenes and so forth. But is there anybody working to get people out?
I tried to get 17 people, many of whom worked for the previous Afghan government, educated pro-Western people, relatives of my intern. And I ran into a brick wall. We have some ways to get some people out, but there's so many volunteer organizations now trying to step in because our government is not being very effective. Yes, we flew out over 130,000 people in a short period of time, thank God.
Hold on, Ariel. Did we vet these people properly? Do we even know who we brought over or who we set up shop with or playing house with?
That is a very important question. I'm glad you asked that question because we need to screen these people. But I'm saying we do have a moral obligation and a realpolitik obligation to be a credible power to take care of the people we work with. So we know who we work with. We should have their biometrics, their retina, their fingerprints. We can identify people we worked with. As to other people, we need to screen and to screen before they get to these shores. We can put them in third countries and establish screening procedures. We need to do that. By the way, I can tell you that the Germans, when they took 1 million refugees in 2015, did not screen outside of Germany. They got people in, and they got some amount of terrorist attacks. Not a lot, but some amount of terrorist attacks because terrorists infiltrated the ranks of those migrants. So when people are exiting Afghanistan now, and it's very difficult because the Taliban is preventing people from just flying out, people pay bribes to get out. But it's their lives. Afghanistan is about to collapse as a society, as an economy, and we need to...
But in fairness, Afghanistan's never been, you know, particularly unified, ever. Not in my lifetime. I mean, there's always been fractions and factional fighting and tribal fighting and so forth.
However, it's an important lesson, because before 1978, where they had sort of a loose federation of tribes headed by a king, it was westernizing. There were women in miniskirts walking around Kabul in the 1960s and 70s, just as they walked around Tehran and Cairo. Today, maybe in Cairo, but definitely not in Tehran, Women are now much, much worse off in Afghanistan than they were even in the last 20 years. But you're absolutely right. Since the king was overthrown and the Soviets tried to meddle there, and the Soviets started a horrible war in which about a million people got killed and became refugees, more than a million. And then we came in, tried to kick the Soviets out of there, and arming and equipping groups of Mujahideen that called themselves the base of jihad, Al-Qaeda al-Jihad. These were our guys back in the late 70s, early 80s. And then it was all downhill from there.
Right. So where do we go from here? We've got about 40 seconds, sir. The road to get us here has been ugly. The American public has rejected what happened with this administration and its failed exodus from Afghanistan. Quite clearly in the polling, it was the beginning of the collapse of the Biden presidency. Where do we go from here? 30 seconds for the last word.
Number one, lessons learned. We have to plan not just for the deadline that is randomly set by a president. We need to listen to our military intel guys. We could have left there 2,000 or 3,000 top military people to coordinate, train, equip, provide intelligence, and that collapse would not have happened. Secondly, we have no choice. We need to work with countries around Afghanistan and work towards putting eyes and ears on the ground, electronic systems, over-the-horizon systems, to keep an eye on ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, etc., to prevent attacks against homeland and against our allies.
Ariel Cohen, greatly appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you for the insight. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Patrick Byrne about election integrity coming up later. Craig Stiles will be here to talk about investments and Thanksgiving. Don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Huber Show. We'll be right back.